I'm a recovering addict whose name is Sheila. Hi, family. First things first, I want to give thanks to God for another day of life. And the program of Narcotics Anonymous for showing me how to live this new way of life a day at a time. For that, I'm forever grateful. I want to welcome the newer member to Narcotics Anonymous and let you know that if you don't understand anything that's said this weekend, it's really okay. Just don't use and keep coming. That's the bottom line. You know, I'm like extremely, extremely nervous. I was sitting here telling, you know, ain't nobody gonna hear about parenting and recovery. I expected it to be about 10 people in here. We was going to sit and chit-chat, right? So then I was looking at the thing saying, well, wait a minute, maybe they all in here. Let's see what the other topics were. So the first topic said on there, you know, the consequences of our actions. He said, well, ain't that parenting and recovery? Consequences of our actions, children, okay? So I was like, okay, we can flow with that, right? And I want to thank, there she is. I was sitting here, you know, I gotta say this, right, cause you know, I've been clean and recovering for about 11 and a half years with no relapse in my story. Thank God, right? And I was saying to the sister, I said, you know, you remember what it was like when you first got here and your sponsor's presence was just all that. You know, she or he, like, don't no matter who you was with, no matter what was going on, if your sponsor was anywhere in the environment, you were safe. And I hadn't had that feeling in a very, very long time. And my sponsor lives in Virginia, and I live in Philadelphia. So I get an opportunity to see her, and I'm sitting up here, where is she? She know I'm stressing, and she's here, and I love her, you know. So we cool now, y'all. I ain't gonna front either. Don't think, you know. We gonna be clean because there's some babies in here. So this one of them clean meetings. You know, I'm not gonna tell you that my biggest choice, and I will say this, you know, the biggest choice that I had to make this morning, unlike when I first arrived in Narcotics Anonymous, was whether I was wearing thongs or briefs today. You know, and like, so if that's my biggest choice and my biggest problem, life just ain't that bad. Life just ain't that bad. But our literature says we don't dwell excessively on the active addiction or war story, right? But the third tradition says we need to give the new member something to identify with, regardless of what kind of meeting it is, where it takes place, and what the topic is. Because somebody in here just, what do you mean, parent? I ain't got my kids back yet. Somebody in this convention is fighting to get their child back. Somebody in this convention fighting to get rid of their kids, too. But, you know... I'm probably more on that end of stuff than I am on the other end. But you know, I'm gonna be nice. Wayne ain't gonna let me come back no more. You know, I went into treatment January 23rd, 1993, about 90 pounds soaking wet with no hopes, no dreams, no self-worth, no self-respect, no self-dignity, no self-love, no nothing. I went into treatment with complete self-hatred. Because anybody who did what we did to ourselves got to hate yourself, right? And I recognized in treatment, right, because I ain't going there to stop getting high. I like getting high. I ain't know nothing about slowly committing suicide. That was some old new stuff I learned when I showed up here, a whole new language, right? I went into treatment because I wanted to stop hurting. And I recognized in treatment that if I wanted to stop hurting, I had to stop using drugs first. Now that I've been clean and recovering for over 11 and a half years with no relapse in my story, I recognize that if I want to stop hurting in other areas, I have to stop using other things, which are usually those old ideas and attitudes that are leading me back to the old behavior that some folks done did the research and let me know that old behaviors lead you back to dope. And if they don't say so, the book say so. First step, bottom of the right-hand side of the page, and let you know where you can no longer stand your own ways.
That's right.
You have to entirely change or go back to using drugs. So you ain't got to go by nobody else's research. Just read the literature. And you ain't got to buy into that. Try it and see what happens. I'll be here when you get back, right? And I'm real about that. And I need to say, right, that, you know, parenting and recovery is my favorite topic. And one of the things Wayne called me, and he knows, and this is a brother that I grew up with, my daughters mean everything to me. Everything. And I need to share with you that I showed up and I was rescued and delivered to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous by way of a power grade in myself through what I was doing to my daughters. Right? at the end of the road, that I remember that last day before I went into treatment, you know, when you've been on a run for a few days, you know, and my daughter had to get pictures taken, and I was doing the best that I could, man, to get it together. And it wasn't supposed to be an afro, but it turned out to be an afro because nobody was taking care of this child, for real, for real. And I thought I was an okay mother because we still had our apartment, and I was still physically there, you know. So I thought I was, it just wasn't that bad because my family was making sure that they got something to eat and all that other kind of stuff. And the married man was making sure that the bills was paid, so it just wasn't that bad. It just wasn't that bad because I couldn't identify with folks who had lost their kids. I couldn't identify with some other stuff, but it talks about in our literature that when you first get here, the first thing you do is look for reason to disqualify yourself to not want to be here no how. And you look at all the differences instead of the similarities. And I remember her having to take pictures, and at the end of the road, the dope boy was going to beat me up because I had switched to dope, and I probably got the only one with that story, and it's okay. I ain't mad. You know, I'm grateful that I switched his dope, and he was going to beat my brains in. And I went on, and I sent my daughter, she had to take pictures in school, and I sent her to school the best that I could, man, an active addict, getting her kid together. And I went into treatment right between that time and when the pictures came back. And when the pictures came back, I had been, you know, in treatment, and I was in treatment. And, you know, after you get clean or stay clean and the stuff starts getting out of your system, you start getting a conscience and you start feeling stuff all over again. And, you know, you in rehab and want to talk to your kid, and you in rehab and you want to be mother of the year all of a sudden, and you want phone privileges and all of this, but you forget all the times you left them by themselves. Now you done got a couple days clean and you want to tell somebody else how to run your life. So they told me in treatment, you need to sit down somewhere, man, and leave your kids alone. Because if you was that concerned about them, you would never have done what you did to end up here. And I recognize that. My mother dropped me off at rehab with a suitcase. They told her, you can't come in. We'll take care of her. She'll call you when she come off blackout. So I got those pictures back when I was in treatment. I saw those pictures and it looked like my daughter had been using drugs. Because the disease that we suffer from affects everybody and everything that we come in contact with. And it's a family disease.
Come on now.
This is a family, this is a community family disease we suffer from. Do you understand? I ain't impressed with nothing nobody said in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. How you living at home? Could my kids introduce me now after 11 and a half years? And I remember those pictures, man, and I immediately got ready to tear the pictures up, and my sponsor at the time said, no, keep one of those pictures. Because any day that you don't live this new way of life, your daughter gonna go back to looking like that. And I took that picture and I pasted it in Why Are We Here. And all of this stuff about if you ain't here for you, you ain't staying. I ain't into that. That ain't even what the tradition say. It say, we don't care why you here. Our job, while the experience members, is to fan whatever ounce of desire you may have. Even if you don't want to be and you just getting your slip signed, we guarantee you show up here long enough, you'll start seeing just maybe it's the drugs. I might hang out with them a little longer. They may have something here. You know, so I took that picture, and I'm going to tell you all, my daughters have been that power greater than myself, because on days, man, when I wanted to just give up, on days when I didn't want to do this no more, on days when I felt like I couldn't make it, I would go in their bedroom and say, I'm not putting them through the hell that I put. I have a real soft spot for children, real soft spot. I'm talking about, look, and it has not been easy. One of the things I had to get in touch with early on in recovery is I couldn't be my daughter's friend. That's not the role that God has placed me in their life to be. I ain't your girlfriend, because see, you know, you'll forget that you ain't talking to Rashida. And your hair get to swinging, and you know all this old kind of stuff, and your voice changes pitch and all. Then I want to knock you out. You know, I'm real clear, but I'm saying this, and you know, I'm saying this, and this is one of the areas of my life, and I thank God. I love my sponsor, man. I do, because I understand that one of the things that helped me to parent my daughters was to find out how I was being parented.
That's right.
Do you understand that I had to break some of those vicious cycles? And some of those things could still continue. So I had to understand, how was I raised? You know, I was being abused by my mother on a constant basis, man. And I was being sexually abused by my stepfather and my stepbrother. So I don't have a whole lot of good stuff to go on. I can only go on, man, my own instincts, because I just believe that God built me with some stuff when he built me with those children. And through sponsorship and the sponsor that I have now over the last year and a half has gotten me in touch with the fact that, like, look, one, I need to let my mother off the hook so that I can be a better parent. It's real, you know, that little cute 8 for 9 step stuff that we say we do. No, I'm talking about a serious, let your mom off the hook. She did the best she could with the information she had. Right. It ain't her fault. It ain't her fault, man. And once I got set free from that, once she allowed me to get set free from that, then I was better able to understand and be a better mother too. Because how am I going to parent my daughters when I'm still walking around with resentments, hatred, and unforgiveness with my mother? You know, I'm talking about that old real live the program, not that old surface, you know, you buy them some new Tims. Because let me tell you what I'm in touch with. My daughters are not going to remember the new Tims. They're not going to remember the cell phone. They're not going to remember digital cable. They're going to remember what she did when I needed her. Or was she still going to all the conventions and all the marathons and doing all this NA service and calling herself recovery with adjustment of day meditation lets us know that if you're still doing all that stuff, your family don't see how this program works.
Right.
I ain't said it. The book said it. Because you're still running the street in the name of NA. So I've had to put some balance in that stuff. So, like, I've learned how to be a parent as a direct result of unparenting some of those things that had been instilled in me. Being molested, I'm very protective of my daughters. And one of the things, man, and when my mother denied all of that stuff, one of the things I had to do with my daughters is let them know, let me tell you something. I got your back. Come hell or high water, I don't care what happens. Look, like anybody, if you in here, I bless you for being willing to even make it a parent in recovery. It takes a lot of credit, and it takes a lot of courage to want to show up and do something different in that area of life. Because home is the last place recovery reaches. The last place. Why do I know? Because I've done it. I've done it. I'm talking about 11 and a half years, man, and it's only been this last few years and really this last year. Look, let me share this.
Come on now.
My daughter, look, let me tell you. It's real cute to say some stuff, right? And God bless me with the home that I have. I have a beautiful home. And I said, I'm getting this house so that my children never have to be homeless. I wanted a man to come along and get it for me and all that kind of stuff. And I got in touch with the fact that, man, no man owe you nothing. You ain't got to, like, do none of that. So my thing was, I'm going to get this house so my children, my daughters would never have to do nothing for nobody, especially no man. Here you go. I got good girls. My equation. I got good girls. They don't talk bad. They ain't doing drugs and they ain't pregnant. Then, sounded real cute.
Come on now.
It was wonderful. You know, the same thing I did when I first got clean. I ain't never been in a hit house. I ain't never tricked, you know, only till somebody bust that illusion. You heard me say a married man was paying my rent when I got here. You do the math, right? On welfare, right? Let me say this, and this is this because, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time, but let me tell you something, what I found out. It's real easy to say that you love your kids unconditionally until they do something you don't like. It's real easy because my thing is I love my daughters unconditionally. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them, but I got in touch with when my 19-year-old got pregnant. I love you unconditionally as long as you're doing what I think you should be doing. It was a snowstorm. And listen, I'm talking about all things considered where we think about where we come from and where our children may be now or where we're trying to get them to be or where, you know, wherever you are in your parenting or wherever you are with children, if you may not even be yours that you gave birth to, because I have a little girl in my life that I didn't give birth to, but she's a walking 9th step for me. I love her. Her mother's not capable of doing some things. And I just believe that she's just a gift I'm supposed to help take care of. So you know, everybody who has a baby ain't a mama. Everybody who has a baby ain't a daddy. You's a father and you's a mother. Mommies and daddies come from time, commitment, and love, and all that other stuff. Making sacrifices. So anyway. So, you know, I'm going to say this real quick that I love my daughters. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them. I put them in the best schools and all that kind of stuff. My oldest daughter has a 4-year scholarship to a school in Pennsylvania where she's a criminal justice major. And I stayed, you know, and I understand today, we say this, you don't understand, they ain't supposed to understand. I'm in touch with now that my children are never going to understand what I'm talking about, the sacrifices that parents have to make. And we expect them to understand something they ain't going to understand, because I didn't understand. We don't understand they supposed to be self-centered by nature. The triangle of self-obsession says, look, children are self-centered by nature. Our problem is we didn't outgrow the self-centeredness of a child. See, they supposed to believe that the world revolves around them. But when you start going outside yourself for that thing inside yourself, then you show up at NX. But anyway, or somewhere, you know, or crazy. And so it was a snowstorm, and you know, my daughter's in school, and I'm going to tell you, all they had to do was wake up in the morning, look cute, pray, serve God, and be... hear what I'm saying. When I first got clean, I tried to buy my kids love, because guilt make you go back and buy all this stuff. But let me tell you, our children know the program better than we. Don't you owe me a ninth step? Ain't you supposed to be making up for something you did? And because of the guilt and the embarrassment that we, y'all probably ain't go through this. I'm probably the only one. It's okay. The guilt and embarrassment that I went through in the beginning made me buy my children. Made me not hit them when they should have been slapped in their mouth. You know, man, let them get away with saying stuff that I knew for real they shouldn't have been getting away with. You know, I let that happen, but something happened when you get some steps in your life. And you get a serious eighth and ninth step and you say, listen, I'm no longer allowing my past to haunt me and nobody to hold it against me, and that includes my kids too. Oh no, mama's back now. See, I'm not using drugs no more. And my home is not run like I'm using drugs. And you're not going to talk to me like I'm using drugs. And you ain't going to act like I'm using drugs. So I saw Pop, you know, and I need to say this. I came in here actually beating my daughters. Because I believed in the spare the rod concept. But let me tell you what I got in touch with. I can't tell you the last time I had to beat Zenobia. You know, Zenobia is bigger than me. You know, my spine, Zenobia. You know, she break a nail, we gonna fight. I'd be more mad if she broke a nail than beating her. But anyway, so one of the things I had to get in touch with, that beating my daughters had a lot to do with control. And I had to check myself. Am I beating you because of the consequences of your actions and I want you to learn something? Or am I beating you because you're not doing what I say you did, supposed to do? And a lot of times the answer was I was beating you because you defied what I said. Well, then I needed to find another mechanism for that, because I understand and learned that beating them doesn't correct the behavior. I come from an abusive background. I ended up in A. That should be enough math to tell you whooping me don't get you nothing. Okay, it just make me rebel against you more. So I had to, and what worked for one child don't necessarily work for another child, because of the fourth tradition principles that I practice, each one of them is autonomous. Long as it don't affect the whole squad as a whole, we cool. You know, and that's real. But my 19-year-old who got it made, you just can't accidentally get pregnant in this century. How do you accidentally get pregnant in 2000 anything? The education, the prevent, I mean, all you see is commercials and condoms and this in the school system. You's in school. You supposed to be smart. What the hell? So it was a snowstorm. And I'm silly at home like I'm silly in here. My kids' friends think I am the coolest things. My kids think I'm the corniest thing. You know, and that's just how it works. They can't wait to be around Miss Sheila. My kids can't wait till Miss Sheila leave. You know, and it ain't because they don't want me no more. My children underneath everything believes I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Why? Because I've changed how I live. Look, I've stopped using drugs. I've lost the desire to use, and I've found a new way to live, not just with y'all and there, but with my children as well. See, I had to understand stuff like talking to my daughters. My daughters don't want to talk when I want to talk, and they want to talk when I don't want to talk, which is usually when law and order is on, and I don't want to talk when law and order is on. And so, you know, but what I understand, that communicating with my children meant being available for when they wanted to talk. I don't mean the kind of available I was before when I was just home. I don't mean the kind of available when you're on the phone with sponsees all night. I don't mean the kind of available, look, my door no longer shuts in my home. I don't close my bedroom door. See, I don't have every time Dick and Harry running in and out. And even the person that I'm with, I think I'm with, I ain't sure. You know, it depends on what day it is, right? But this person, you know. Oh, yeah, I done did it now, sponsor. Yeah. But this part, he don't even sleep in my home. Because I'm trying to set an example in my home. I don't know, I'm talking about me. You know, me and this man are not married. My daughters are 14 and 19. You close the door, you do the math. And if I don't want them to do certain things in my house, I'm not going to do the certain things in my house. So some people can say, well, you're the one paying the bills. That may be true. But I still need to live by example.
That's right.
I need to be about what I talk about to the best of my ability. And I thank God for my sponsor. So my daughter gets pregnant, and we're going to tell the story, and Sis going to, like, tell us how to get rid of our kids, right? Because I'm still trying to keep mine and figure out why I got them. It was an accident. And you imagine it. This is no joke. I actually planned both of them. I had to go through the Planned Parenthood thing, and all. That's why I don't understand that accident thing with my daughter. You know, because I went through Planned Parenthood with the dye in my tubes. I tell both of them, y'all are not accidents, damn it. And they say, we ain't got nothing to do with that. You know, the fact that our daddy ain't on the scene, we ain't got nothing to do with that either. That was your choosing, you know. Okay, I told you that's second step. So listen, it was a snowstorm. And I'm joking, and I come down the steps because we've been snowed in, and so she finally get home from being down her little boyfriend's house. And this brother told me this a long time ago. My daughter was getting phone calls from guys all the time, and you know, and I'm like, yo, they keep calling my house. He said, don't worry about the many, worry about the one. When the phone calls become one guy, that's when your antennas better go. It ain't the many, because she ain't got it in her to spread her stuff like that. It's when one keeps calling. So I said, okay. So I held that. So the one kept calling. He was a nice kid. I still like him. I think he's cute and all that kind of stuff, right? Come from a good family. So the snowstorm is there. They finally come home. So I'm downstairs joking, right? So I said, what's wrong with y'all? So she says, Rasheem got something to tell you. So I say, what, Keisha pregnant? No, I said, no, you pregnant? Talking to him. He says, now I'm still joking, and the joke's on me. I say, what, you pregnant? He says, no, but Keisha is. But I'm still walking around, you know, acting stupid. Then I see I'm the only one. And let me tell you something. All you wonderful parents, I know y'all are great here at CMP. I know y'all parents, y'all got plaques, Parents of the Year and all that. I can just tell y'all got that look, right? Because y'all came here to tell me how to do it, right? I sat down on that chair, and all of everything that I had instilled in my daughters flashed before me. Because what I got in touch with, like, I have a dream for my daughters. Y'all hear, the optimal word is, I have a dream. This ain't Martin Luther King. I have a dream for my daughters. And my dream is they go to good schools. You ain't even got to get no husband. I ain't putting that out there. You know, sponsor helping me with that husband thing, that contract thing with husbands, right? You know, because I just want blessed sex. I really don't want a husband. But anyway, that's another meeting, right? So I'm going through that, right? And I'm telling these kids all they got to do is this. I'm making it so, listen, I'm working two jobs. I stay at the job I'm at because in recovery, you gain back what you once lost. And in my active addiction, I lost a job at a learning institution, and my biggest resentment was the fact that I had sabotaged an opportunity for my daughters and my one daughter at that time and myself to get a free college education. But I believe that what you lose, God will give back to you if you act like you got some sense, right? So what happened was not only did I get it back, but he gave it to me in a bigger stand, in an Ivy League school that, you know, where I ain't supposed to be, no ham. One, because of my color, two, because of my bald head, and three, because I'm a recovering addict. You know, and that's real. That's real. But that's a whole nother meeting. Anyway, so my daughters have an opportunity to get this education. So my daughter don't have to do nothing. I don't understand how you got pregnant. But let me tell you something. Parenting and recovery. All of what I thought I was about, I found out I wasn't.
Oh, come on, now.
I found out I wasn't. Sponsor, you know, I look, I was messed up. How can she do this to me?
Uh-huh.
She's messed up my equation. I told you, look, I got good girls. They don't talk back. They don't do drugs. And they ain't pregnant. All I can say is they don't talk back and they don't do drugs. She done messed it up. And I'm not looking. Hear what I'm saying. Look, and I got to get the fast version of this. I'm not looking at the fact that. I'm not looking at the fact that this is a scared 18-year-old right now. I'm not practicing that eighth and ninth step principle of understand instead of wanting to be understood. I'm getting in touch with, for the first time at that point, is self-centered fear. I'm afraid, because let me tell y'all, I don't know about none of y'all, but because I had set up a situation for my daughters, I saw me taking care of that baby. I saw, look, hey, no, that, it gets better. So we going through this, and I don't know what to do. I was in bed for a week, depressed, couldn't go to work, couldn't get out of bed. How could she do this to me? What are we going to do? She's in school. What kind of example is this going to be for the other one? And the other one is like this. She, to the hand. You know, because my youngest one, she, oh, my God. God is so wonderful because he ain't going to give you two of the same kind of kids. Bleed it. He ain't. He will bless you with one that's woo, and he will bless you with, you know, he will put balance in your life. You know? And I'm so grateful that he showed mercy and didn't give me two of them, right? I would have committed suicide a long time ago. So, look. So moving forward, this whole thing is going, and I'm making the first few weeks of this girl's first trimester complete hell because I'm scared. Because let me tell y'all the reality. My children don't know nothing about life for real. You know, Lee, like they don't know. Like my daughters don't know. My daughters don't know nothing about no. Because they mama don't know nothing about no. Let's be real. Let's be real. Look, me and no don't even occupy the same space together. And I have to learn how to tell me no, not you no. I have to learn how to tell me no. So my daughters have a hard time with that. We live in a neighborhood that's not a lot of drugs. And they don't know nothing about like being in North Philly, which is anybody know? You know Wayne, yeah, North Philly. Yeah, everybody got a North Philly. Just think about where you use drugs at. And so, you know, they don't know nothing about that. I mean, it was a robbery taking place one time, and my daughters were standing outside the store eating potato chips. They didn't even get that the guys was going buying guns. So my head tell me my daughter can't do this. She not going to be able to hear what I'm saying. My self-centered fear said my daughter can't handle this. I forgot that God is in total control. I forgot that God, this is about God. You ain't got nothing to do. You don't give or take life. This ain't got nothing to do with you. And a few weeks later, I'm at a sponsee meeting. And my daughter, hear what I'm saying. I'm telling my daughters the whole time before this happened, I love you. I'm going to be there for you. It's like this. You know what I mean? Until something happened that I didn't like. Then you find out where you really at. Where's your recovery for real? Where's your relationship with God? For real, for real. Your good quoting, convention speaking, sponsoring behind. How you really, really, really living? Is it really in you like you thought it was in you? Do a real 10th step, not the pamphlet. She called me at my sponsee's house. She said, Mom, now I done put a fear in this child now. Because I done made it horrible for her at home. She said, first thing out of her mouth, Mom, I didn't do it. It ain't my fault. I said, what are you talking about? She said, look, the ultrasound came back and they said I'm having twins. I completely, yeah, that's what I did. And tears started coming down my eyes and my sponsees was sitting there going, what is wrong? And I told them, and I'm going to tell you what I saw. Two car seats, two high chairs, two, you know, I just started, look, and all I see is dollar signs. I'm not in touch with the emotions. Look, the selfish, self-centered part of me is looking at the fact that not do I have to take care of you plus one, now I got to take care of you plus two in my house. Neither one of y'all got a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. You just graduated from school. Great. He's in the entrepreneur program right now. Thank God he's been accepted into the Carpenters Union in Philadelphia doing excellent. He's a hardworking young man. He loves, he would marry my daughter tomorrow. She's the nut, not him. And I can't even get a proposal, right? But anyway, what happened was God is so wonderful because I believe God allows things to happen for a reason. And today I don't have two grandsons. She lost one of the twins in the process. And I had to get in touch with through sponsorship that this ain't even about me. This is about her. Sponsors, I love you so much, man. She let me know this ain't got nothing to do with you because she had me on the internet. Yeah, you get on the internet and you get up the statistics and tell her how much it costs to take care of two kids. You know, give us some stuff in black and white like the book tell us do. Put it in writing so you can no longer deny it or manipulate it. And you want to tell me I ain't doing nothing for you? Because my daughter still, she bastard, she got one time to say out of her mouth I ain't doing nothing for her. She great be in the shelter. And in closing, listen. Because see, they think not doing nothing for them mean buying them a new pair of Tims and a pair of jeans. I say, let me tell you something. Every time you walk in your room and turn on the light, I'm doing something for you. Every time. Every time. When you put the key in my door. Listen, while my daughter was pregnant, listen, I'm going to tell y'all, I'm not ashamed to say it. I needed help. She had to go stay with his family because I couldn't deal. I couldn't even look at her. I needed to get in touch with some stuff. I needed to be sponsored and helped so this child could come back into my home and we live okay. And I went down there one day and we was going to KFC and I had to be someplace else. And I'm talking about making sacrifices to be available when they need to talk. And she said, listen, Mom, let's just go do a drive with you so we can have some time to talk. She said, when everybody else turned their back on me, I expected you to be there. And you wasn't there either. And that thing still hurts. Because I don't care what happens. Talk all that good NA stuff. Ain't got nothing to do with NA. I love my daughter. The privilege of just being mine is enough. There's nothing that I won't do for her and my grandson. And I also will not let her live in my home and not be responsible. My daughter pays me rent. My daughter goes back to school in 2 weeks. My daughter's doing what she has to do. See, doing everything you can for them don't mean letting them walk all over you and getting away with being responsible. I had to get back to some old-fashioned stuff because I believe somehow I was kind of responsible for my grandson in a way. Because I was being a liberal parent because I didn't want to like overturn the apple cart. So when it snowed out or whatever, I would let the little boy stay over and sleep downstairs and I'd go to work. So I'd take some responsibility for making it easier to do whatever they did. So after she had the baby, once the baby got well and all this kind of stuff, I put down the laws of the land. You can't stay down his house and he can't stay up here. And I have an opportunity to change my parenting anytime I want.
That's right.
And I had to let her know that. So today, like, it's wonderful in my house just for today. I have a beautiful 6-month grandson.
Right.
You know, this young man has been he's got a job. He's taking care of the baby. You know, my sponsor let me know. And it sounds hard sometimes because, you know, you be like, I don't want to go tell him that, Leanne. For real, do I have to go do that? You know, but I have done the things that she suggested from her experience and it's working. You don't talk to me any kind of way you want. I ain't your girlfriend. There's rules in my house. And when you can't live by them, you can go. And I ain't mad. And we tell them, well, don't give up on our kid. Man, let them come to your house then. I got child welfare on speed down here. You want to talk? It just ain't that bad. And I share with you, man. Like, you find out where you at when you really go through some things. My 14-year-old daughter is like, whoo, she just like is everything. And I say 14 because the 19-year-old, I'm done with her. I've done all I can do with her. I've raised her as much as I can raise her. She's a mother now. She has to be a woman now. She has a child to raise. I'm done. I'm there for you. I support you. I love you. I pray with you and all that good stuff. But the 14-year-old, because let me tell you what happened when we was going through all of this. And I'm going to say this real quick. The 14-year-old started acting out and doing some things because they don't understand that negative attention ain't the same. All she saw was me giving my other daughter all this attention. She came to me and said she felt adopted. She did not understand that it was negative attention. All she said was this was getting more attention. I had to get in touch with the fact that you messing up my home right now with your stuff. I can't understand this, but I ain't concentrating on you no more because I still got to raise this one and make sure that she don't make the same mistakes that you made and that I don't make the same mistakes with her that I made with this one. So I got another opportunity to do this thing a different way. And my 14-year-old is just, she called me before we came in here. Mommy, do I get black stockings for the night? She travels, she sings with a choir from church. She just make a girl. Look, my daughter 14, and when I come in the house, she still go, Mom! She still calls me every day when she come in from school. Mom, I'm home. Mom, I'm home. So like if you're in here and you're a parent to anybody's child, or think you want to be, or thinking about it, or whatever, there's joys in it. It's some other stuff, but I wouldn't change it for the world. Thanks for allowing me to share.
You don't want to stand up. At this time, I'm going to introduce our second speaker, and this is Candy.
I don't have family. My name is Candy. I'm a grateful recovering addict. Amen. Shoot, after hearing Sheila talk, I'm like, well, dang, we should open up the meeting. Because, you know, because I tell you, we're more alike than different. And as she was sharing, I started seeing my whole life. Like, dang, why is she sitting up here talking about me? You know, I don't know. I'm a little nervous, but I'm around my family. And first of all, I really, really would like to thank the God of my understanding for bringing me here, allowing me to be here clean, peaceful, and serene. And I also would like to thank God for allowing you guys to love me enough till I learn how to love myself. And for me to keep an open mind to hear whatever it is you guys got to share with me with your experience, strength, and hope so that I can have a new way of life. Parenting and recovery, I'm going to try to stay on that topic, too. And I got some stuff. But I don't know. Before using, I was a pretty good mother. Before using. I grew up in a home where everybody partied from Thursday through Sunday. You know, life was just a party. Everybody just had fun, and we was the cleanup crew, so we cleaned up after the parents and everything, and I got addicted to oldies but goodies and drinking. I liked the way it made me feel. And when I had my kids, when I had my first daughter by the time I was 19 years old. I had my second child by the time I was 21 years old. I was in recovery, introduced to Narcotics Anonymous when I was 28 years old. That was April the 12th of 1992. And relapse is not a part of my story either. You know, I don't believe that for me, if God had given me this program, and I'm so grateful for this program, if I go back out and use, I'm telling you, thank you, God, but I got this now. I'll continue to kill myself. You know, so I take this program very, very seriously. I don't take myself all that seriously no more, but I take this program very seriously. When I got here, I wanted to save the world. So I went to a lot of meetings. Keep in mind, I had two kids. They were 6 and 9 when I got here. They're 21 and 18 now. When I was using, I didn't pay them too much attention because I was an addict in active addiction. So the ability to feel human was lost. You see what I'm saying? Loving people wasn't a part of that for me. Because, see, I love the ritual of getting high, the finding in ways and means to get more. So I ain't really had time for them. So in the meantime, I got a little girl taking care of a little boy while two parents are in the house and we're using. I'm sending my little girl around the back because I'm hearing stuff. You go out there and check. Y'all don't want the police to come, do you? Turn off all the lights. We're going to watch a movie. But when I take a hit, turn off all the lights and go to bed. You know? Okay? Stay in this one room because I'm occupying the bathroom right now. You got to go to the bathroom. You need to go around back. We're talking about two little people. That's during using. After using, when I was introduced to this program, I had two little people who did not have a clue about what Narcotics Anonymous was. All they knew was their mother was a crackhead, and all these people in here crackheads too. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell you, in the beginning, when y'all told us we could bring our children to the meeting, I did. because there were other people like me that had little people too. They had big voices. Them little people had big voices. So they were able to go and play with each other and talk about their mothers like dogs. You know what I'm saying? You think she gonna go back out? And all that kind of stuff. But after a while, they got tired of going to meetings and they realized that I was the one that needed the help. They started staying home. And I want to tell any parent that is new in recovery, or any parent that has been in recovery for quite some time, please try to hear what your children are not saying to you. Please. Because y'all told me to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. I went to 90 meetings in 90 days. I went to 120 meetings in 90 days. And guess what? By the time I got to the 120th meeting, my kids wasn't going to meetings with me anymore. My marriage had gone down the drain. And I had a good family member who was very, very close to me during using, before using, and after using, who was taking advantage of my daughter for a many, many, many years. Even while I'm in Ocean City, sharing from the heart for many, many, many years. So when she ups and runs away from home, by now she's about 14 at that time, I do her hair. She ups and runs away from home and I can't understand what's going on. She ups and starts talking back to me when I'm a newcomer. I don't have no parenting skills. Don't get it twisted. I don't have none. Okay? So I don't have no parenting skills. And we down in Fort Washington, because we had to leave Palmer Park because everybody know I was on it. So I moved to Fort Washington. But I moved to Fort Washington March 17th thinking that I was going to move down there because everybody in Palmer Park knew I was on it and I need to start getting high in peace. I did not know that that disease was going to have me so wound up that I was going to surrender. So I moved there March 17th of 1992. By April 12th, I had surrendered. Because an addict by itself, oh God, I don't know about y'all, but I enjoyed crawling on the floor and putting newspaper in front of the mirror because I didn't want to see myself hitting the pipe. You see what I'm saying? So I'm going to meetings and these little kids, like, she trying to tell us to go to bed at a certain time. You know what I'm saying? So when my daughter proceeded to get smart with me, I would beat her. I mean, beat her like she stole something. And then she go and call my mother, and I proceed to beat her again. And say, now you call again, I'm going to do it again. But all she was trying to tell me is, every time you leave me, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. Somebody in recovery said, well, is so-and-so bothering her? Nah, they love you. We real close. They love her. I was like, okay. And she had to share with me how sometimes she had to lay there to protect my son, which was her younger brother. Now, all this is going on in recovery. Before using, they wasn't around. During using, they came around and was always there cleaning up the house and everything. And she said, well, Mommy, he was doing that when I was about 4 or 5 years old. Up until she was about 13 or 14. My daughter's 21. So the consequences of my actions has caused me a lot of pain. And so I want to say, just try to hear what they ain't saying. Because beating them down ain't going to help them. Beating them down ain't going to help them. And so what happened was, as I get older in recovery, and I'm trying the best of my ability, and the person is dead now, and I take her out to lunch, and my nephew who decided that he wanted to be gay and all this other stuff, and I don't have nothing against that, he came to the guy's funeral to look down at him just to make sure he was dead because he had tampered with so many children, including him. So I'm sitting there, and I'm having lunch with my daughter at the Chesapeake over there in New Carrollton, Maryland, and she proceeds to tell me the whole ordeal. I don't know about anybody else, but I felt like using. Because I used to my feelings. I didn't know how to control my feelings, which was why I used. So now you're telling me this, and I'm supposed to have, you know, enough tools, but I felt like using. Cell phones wasn't popular then, so I had to run to the payphone and call somebody and just scream. because there was my answer as to why this child hates you so much. And she told me that even though you in recovery and going to meetings, that don't mean nothing to us. We still hurting. Every time it's a convention, every time it's a dance, every time it's something going, you got to run out there and go with them and leave us with him. So parenting in recovery, when I was given the topic, I was like, shh. And I can remember, I shared for this convention many, many years. And I could remember always complaining about her. But what was happening was, we were so much alike that not only did I want to start beating the hatred that she felt towards me out of her, I wanted to start beating the part of me that's in her out of her. Because she was a mirror of me. I too have been molested and raped and all those things. And people don't believe that kind of stuff. So now I'm trying to take my life back and try to, you know, tell you this is the way you should go and da-da-da-da-da. And I mind you, I'm in recovery. And, you know, I want to also share for you parents, please, please be open-minded when you hear sisters coming in here and brothers coming in here struggling and crying about certain things. Because I wasn't open-minded. When you start sharing about your teenager having babies and all that stuff, I was like, shit, she ain't working on nothing. You know, it's a reflection of her. What kind of mother is she? By the time my daughter was 18, baby, you got one, I got two grandsons. And I had to go to the same sisters that I was talking about and ask them, how did you do this? See, because my daughter didn't want to be she didn't want me to be her mother. She didn't even want me to be her buddy. Just do whatever you got to do. And so guilt made me tilt. I was sitting up there, every time I turned around, I'm in my pocket buying them everything they could possibly want, and it still wasn't enough. So I had to start praying. And I'm not talking about them little petty prayers. In the beginning, they were petty prayers. In the end, they were desperate prayers. Please help me be a better mother. Because I felt like I ruined my kids' life. And just like there was recovery for me, they didn't have nowhere to go. So I started using resources. When my daughter went to a counselor, her and my son, the counselor started sharing with me what they felt. So they start shutting down. They didn't want to go to therapy no more. So when you start trusting people and people start revealing, that's like if we go to our sponsor or somebody in our network and tell them how we really feel, and they go, you go in the meeting, everybody running up to you telling you what you just shared, you feel kind of bad. You know what I'm saying? So that's what happened with them. Today, I just pray for them. Neither one of my kids graduated from high school. And I remember Sheila so well because we met her in Philadelphia, over in North Philly, at a marathon. And she was so powerful, I got her number and I called her and we was talking. She didn't even know who I was till I just told her today. It was me that had called her, showed her email address. But she was sharing so many good things about her children. And I was like, Dad. But I don't let that trip me up into thinking that I'm not doing the best that I can with what I'm working with. Because if all else fail, prayer gonna work. So I'm a decent mother to my daughter today. I went to visit her the other day and spent 2 hours with her, sharing my experience, strength, and hope, because her life, everything going in her life happened to me. And she said, Mommy, the very person I hated, I'm just like. The very person I hated, I'm just like. I had 2 kids by the time I was 21. I was in cosmetology school by the time I'm 21. I was married by the time I was 21. Everything that happened in my life happened in her life. And that's how we relate. My son was going through back and forth. He was really a real quiet child growing up. He just hung under my leg. Everybody thought he was a deaf mute because he wouldn't talk. And I was like, he ain't deaf. He can talk. He talks really well. You know what I'm saying? He didn't graduate from high school. I sent him off to Job Corps. And he comes home every weekend. Mom, pick me up at 4:30. Pick me up at 4:30. And sometimes I get tired of rip racing and running for them. But they say practice these principles on all your affairs. That don't mean go out here and help everybody at the churches and everybody in the meetings and everybody that call and say I need help. And when your children crying out, you ain't got time for them. You're gonna pray for them. They gotta find their own way. No, I've gone through enough so they ain't got to go there. They ain't got to go there. If I plant the seed and give them my experience, strength, and hope, whether or not they pay it attention, they'll remember. See, because whether or not I paid attention to anything about Narcotics Anonymous, I remember, because if anybody know my story, they know I found Narcotics Anonymous through the five heartbeats. At the end, when the guy named Eddie Kane said, you never know what a 12-step program of Narcotics Anonymous will do. That's how I found it. I was like, what's that? And I kept pushing rewind, because we ain't had DVDs. So I kept pushing rewind to him saying, I feel like going on. I said, damn, that's the same dirty dude that was outside. Wait a minute. Rewind that. Still using. But it was planted. It was planted. So even though my children still have a rebellious spirit, I still pray. And I know the things that I share with them is still planted. I took my son back last Sunday and he cried like a baby because he doesn't like authority figures. My son, I live all kinds of alternative lifestyles, and I'm not even going to go into that. But I decided to pray about certain things, and my ex-husband is getting ready to be my husband again. So I've seen people, marriages destroy, and I see how God bring it back together. And he happens to be the father of my son. And my son is so used to putting them hazel brown eyes up on me and flashing them long eyelashes, and I'm giving them everything I got. So his father said, no, you ain't going to do that. He's running you crazy. You're not going to be trying to, you have to lead by example. Just like y'all tell us in here, we have to lead by example. If you want what we want, you got to do what we do. So if you sitting up here and you trying to do the things that's right, and he in here with all his buddies, this ain't a crack house. He in here with all his buddies. His buddies running around in the living room, and he in a room with a girl. And we still got to go to work in the morning. This ain't going to happen. But my baby is spoiled. And I did it. I did it. He was one of the only men. That's my baby. Hold on. That's the one that make me... My 18-year-old. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm mad because your father trying to tell me how to tell what to do. You know, all this crazy stuff. So my son goes back crying. You know what? As long as daddy in the house, I am not coming back home. I said, oh, okay. I said, okay. Because I'm happy right about now. You do you. You do you. You know why? He said, because you used to let me take the car. He ain't even got a license. It was all about the car and him not being able to manipulate me anymore, because I still felt guilty after 12 years of being clean. I still felt guilty and have worked the program. But there's still certain areas in my life that still have a chokehold on me. And until I start surrendering, it's going to always have a chokehold on me. Always. So we can talk all that good talk. But how you really living? What's going on when ain't nobody looking at you? When ain't nobody looking at you. So when he decided to tell me all these things, I said, well, is it the fact that somebody trying to tell you what to do and trying to steer you in a path that they already went, they don't want you to go the path they went? I don't care, I'm going to always be a better man. I said, okay, prove it to me. But first and foremost, forget all about me. Prove it to yourself. Prove it to yourself. I'm gonna drop you off, and if that's the way you feel, it's okay. I still love you. He called me the very next day. Yo, what you doing? I said, is this the little boy that ain't gonna never talk to me anymore? Oh, Ma, I'm just kidding. I was mad. I said, okay. But so I asked God to let me do it again and do it a little bit better. Because apparently my parenting skills were shot. So he let me do it again, and I'm doing it better. I went to some classes. I started working at group homes, and I don't know if y'all got, I got caretaking spirit. I want to save and help everybody. But see, my sponsor used to tell me help the dummy first, and I thought the dummy was everybody else. I ain't even know she was talking about me. So I have two children now that I adopted. My son is 7. He'll be 8 this year, and I've had him since he was 5 months old. My daughter will be 4 next month, and she can't wait to turn 4. And she wants the Powerpuff Girls cake at Chuck E. Cheese and invite all her friends, you know. But my 7-year-old is the first child I got. When I look at him, I think about all the stuff that I complain about. My 7-year-old suffers from shaken baby syndrome, so he can't do anything for himself, very little. But that boy has learned how to get out of the bed, and he can't walk. No use of the left side and blind in one eye. Go to the refrigerator, scooting, open up the refrigerator, pour all the food down and eat what he want to eat, and does it with a smile. So I said, wait a minute, God, what you trying to tell me? And what came to me was, no matter what you do, how you do it, problems gonna bring you some gifts. Cause you ain't gonna know joy unless you've been through some pain. So if you don't been in this fellowship and you ain't been through nothing, back up off me. Cause see, I gotta hear your experience, strength, and hope. I got to hear where you been. I got to find out where you really walked through. And what happened when you got on the other side? So when I watch this little boy, and he does it with a smile and say, Mom. And all he want to do is hug you and kiss you all day. I say, okay, God, I got the message. Whatever I do, no matter how bad I'm feeling, if I put you first, if I can look up, I'm a get up. And if I go through it, I'm a cry, but it ain't going to have to be that long. And when you come out, you better come out with a smile. I got 5 minutes, y'all. So that's what I do today. I try to maintain a peaceful home with the two that I have. I'm a good grandmother. My grandkids see me, they be like, Nana! And I worked on my prejudices because I used to didn't like light-skinned people because I was so dark. When you see my grandkids, they look half Caucasian. So we walking down the street and they yelling, Nana, I said, yeah, that's my crew. That's my crew. So I may not have been the perfect mother in recovery because I couldn't hear. I was so caught up in myself and trying to get me all ready that I couldn't hear the screams of the other two I left behind. So when my higher power gave me a chance to do it again, I'm doing it damn good today. My name is Candy. I'm a recovering addict. Thanks for letting me share.